What's up, Eagle Country? Double T Travis there, your host of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Appreciate you tuning in to the show, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter weekend. It wasn't so good for the Cincinnati Reds, I can tell you that. I am going to talk a little Reds baseball at the end of the show because it is a hot topic around these parts. But as always, the majority of our show going to be focused on high school athletics here in the area. Plenty to get to on the show. We're going to be talking about high school football reclassification. Got some youth camps that are coming up at various schools. Have a young lady from East Central High School has made it onto the IHSAA Student Advisory Committee. A young lady from Jackson Dell who just was awarded a prestigious scholarship. And we are certainly going to get into some high school baseball and softball on the show as well, which is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com, orthosensi.com. And speaking of OrthoSensi, while we're on that topic right now, they are going to be hosting free sports physicals coming up on Saturday, April 30th. That'll be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at their Lawrenceburg office, which is right at the top of State Road 48 Hill. You take the left there at the hospital, and you then take a right into the OrthoSensi parking lot. And schools that are requested to arrive at designated times: Switzerland County, 9 a.m. on the 30th. Oldenburg and Milan student athletes show up at 10 o'clock. South Ripley at 11 a.m. and then Rising Sun at noon. And this is for grades 6 through high school. These sports physicals will be good for the 2022-23 school year. So you can learn more about the OrthoSensi free sports physicals over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But make sure you are getting your student athlete their sports physicals so that they can compete in sports for the next school year, 2022-2023. Speaking of 2022-2023, the high school football landscape going to look a little different this upcoming season and next, as the IHSAA has announced their high school football reclassification. And we do know that here locally, South Dearborn and Madison are going to be moving from Class 4A to Class 3A. That reclassification is based on enrollment figures submitted to the Indiana Department of Education, which was done last fall. Now, the figures that the IHSAA released last week, South Dearborn's enrollment standing at 689 students last fall, does put them below other 3A schools in the area and in the EIAC, such as Lawrenceburg, Batesville, and Greensburg. So it makes sense for South Dearborn to drop in class for football. And we're going to have more on that here in just a second. As for Madison's, people might be interested in this as well. Their enrollment a little bit larger than South Dearborn's, 737. That would be the 11th largest enrollment in 3A, but had Madison stayed in 4A, they would have been the second smallest school in that class, so it makes a lot of sense for Madison to be in 3A, a little bit more competitive for the Cubs at that level of high school football. But both South Dearborn and Madison, the reason I'm kind of clumping these two teams together is because they were part of the 4A sectional that features the East Central Trojans. So East Central will be impacted in some way when the new sectional groupings are released next month. At least that is the expectation. The IHSAA put out in the press release about the reclassification is that they hope to announce the new sectionals for the next two seasons sometime early next month. Now, these teams in our area have been part of 8-team sectionals, whether that be on the 3A or 4A side, talking about these teams that are going to be impacted with South Dearborn and Madison moving from 4A to 3A. So when you look at it, South Dearborn likely going to be moved into the sectional that features other EIAC 3A teams like Lawrenceburg, Batesville, Greensburg, Franklin County, and Rushville. Now, this sectional over the past few years has also featured Scottsburg, Charlestown, and Brownstown Central. Now, Brownstown Central, they're already out of this sectional as they have moved from 3A to 2A. They figure to be one of the best 2A teams in the state, as they were very good at the 3A level. So there's already an opening in this particular sectional. Makes a lot of sense that South Dearborn be put into that sectional. Now, we'll see if there is a change in numbers, if this is going to end up being a 6-team sectional, 7-team sectional, 8-team sectional. We don't know that as of right now, but if it were me, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, South Dearborn and Madison would make a lot of sense to be in this sectional together with Lawrenceburg and Franklin County and Batesville, so forth and so on. I could see maybe Charlestown moving to a different sectional. They're a little bit closer to teams like North Harrison and Salem and Corydon. That sectional has an opening with Evansville-Bossie moving to 4A. That sectional has also featured Heritage Hills, who has been a recent sectional championship winner, and Gibson Southern, who won the state championship in 3A last year. So if you see Scottsburg or Charlestown move into a different sectional, that would open up two spots for South Dearborn and Madison to be in a sectional with Lawrenceburg, Batesville, Greensburg, Franklin County, and Rushville. And I think that's a pretty nice sectional right there. As for the East Central Trojans, they have been in a sectional that featured those two teams that dropped to 3A. So now there's six teams remaining left over in that sectional with Martinsville, Silver Creek, Mooresville, Jennings County, and Greenwood. There might be a scenario where those six teams stick in a sectional together, perhaps, but I think the conventional wisdom is to try to get eight-team sectionals throughout the state. The numbers don't always line up, so I could see Connersville, Richmond, and Shelbyville as some potential candidates to maybe jump into that 4A sectional. And again, this is all speculation. I'm just kind of putting some ideas out there as to what we might see coming up next month, and I'm not intending to be right on my suggestions for these sectionals. Maybe I will be, maybe I won't. I don't care either way. Just simply throwing out some teams that would work logistically and geographically with these teams in southeastern Indiana, at least the ones that we are covering on a week-to-week basis during the high school football season. So a little bit of a shakeup. It shouldn't be too dramatic. One thing that will be really interesting to see is if Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn are able to shift their schedule this year. I don't know that that's going to be likely. If you look on the Herald site, schedules have been kind of put in place. I don't know how much shifting will happen now, but again, I'm going to use conventional wisdom as a term here. South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg likely going to be moving away from playing the final regular season game of the year against one another because of the potential for them to play in the sectional. Because again, it is very, very likely that South Dearborn is going to be in that 3A sectional, and I think you can make a case if you play the same opponent in the first round of the sectional as you do in the regular season finale, it can kind of water down that regular season finale just a little bit. I understand when Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn get together, it may mean a little bit more than any old regular season game. It is a rivalry. Bragging rights are at stake. It's not like they're playing for a conference championship, so it already tosses out a little bit of the dramatics as you're ending the season. It mostly is a bragging rights game. But if you know that you have to beat that same team the following week, you might be saving your best punch for that sectional game, kind of making that regular season game a little watered down, as I mentioned. So I'm not going to speak on it any further. We'll see what happens. Obviously, if Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn play in the regular season finale and they turn around and play the next week in the sectional first round, it's going to also build a little bit of excitement as well, because one week one thing can happen and the next week something different can happen. Happened to me as a sophomore playing basketball at Lawrenceburg. We played Milan in the regular season finale. We beat them. We went out to their place the next week and they beat us. So maybe we'll see something like that happen in the football realm in the next 2 years with the sectionals being shaken up a little bit, mostly with South Dearborn, Madison, and East Central going to be affected by this as well, with maybe new teams entering their sectional. So again, if you want to read up a little bit more on the high school football reclassification, get a link to see all of the enrollment numbers. We certainly have all that info for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, you're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, orthosensi.com. Want to move away from high school football and talk about a couple of youth basketball camps that are either ongoing or upcoming. Now, the East Central Girls Basketball has opened up their youth basketball spring drills and skills nights. These are taking place on Thursdays at the EC Fieldhouse. They actually had their first one last Thursday. They're going to have four more Thursday, April 21st, Thursday, April 29th, Thursday, May 5th, and Thursday, May 12th. And these sessions will be from 5:30 to 7:15 p.m. On those dates, the high school and middle school coaching staffs will lead the girls through the drills and sessions. This is for girls currently in grades 2 through 6 in the Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. And this is all going to be about fundamentals, working on ball handling, shooting basics, finishing skills, and much, much more. So this is a great opportunity for girls grades 2 through 6 to get out and be active, be around their classmates, have a little fun, learn the fundamentals of basketball. And who knows, some of the young ladies that go through these free clinics might end up being stars for the Lady Trojans down the road. As far as we know, I believe all you got to do is show up. I don't think there's a registration form or anything like that. I know attendees can bring their own basketball if they want, but that is not required. Other than that, if you need some more information, you can go over to EagleCountryOnline.com. Speaking of basketball camps, clinics, whatever you want to call it, Tigers boys basketball camps, registration now open. The boys grades 2 through 8 invited to attend four-day camps. Going to be split up by grade in the month of May and into early June. It's going to start with second grade, work their way up to the middle school kids. It is $45 per camper. They're going to get a t-shirt and instruction from high school coaches, and the campers in grades 7 and 8 will have an opportunity to attend additional practices and an overnight team camp at Hanover College in late June. I've done the team camp thing back in the day, and we used to go up to Fort Wayne to D1 basketball camp, and we'd stay in this big kind of room, bunker style. All the teams that were at the camp stayed in one place. You get up each day and play a bunch of games against a bunch of teams that you normally don't get to play against, like Crown Point and Clay, some of the teams that we played back in my day playing at Greendale Middle School then. It was always a lot of fun, so getting a chance to go down to Hanover would be a really great opportunity for some of these 7th and 8th grade boys. But more information on the Tigers boys basketball camps at EagleCountryOnline.com as well. All right, as promised, we wanted to talk about a young lady from East Central High School who has been named to the IHSAA Student Advisory Committee, and this is a pretty cool thing. Only 18 high school student athletes from across the state serve on this committee, and East Central's Georgia Ferguson will be on the committee, just a junior, and this is going to be a great opportunity for her and the 17 others to get hands-on leadership experience in various areas via several IHSAA-sponsored events as well. As serving as a voice to the IHSAA staff, this student advisory committee has been around since the 2001-2002 season and has been representing the entire IHSAA membership of 407 schools, but there's a lot of different functions that they're going to be attending throughout the year. We're talking about state championships, the student leadership conference, activities with Special Olympics Indiana, and also helping with the IHSAA captain's handbook and multiple public service announcements that are usually utilized during state championship events. So this is a great opportunity for Georgia Ferguson to get that hands-on experience. She's obviously a great student athlete in her own right at East Central High School, right now performing with the track and field team. And being selected to the Student Advisory Committee with the IHSAA, just another feather in the cap and something that she can put on college applications for sure. Another young lady from the area that we wanted to celebrate on the show is Jackson Dell High School senior Annabelle Williams. She recently was named one of four girls to receive the Carolyn Piper Scholarship from the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association. Each year they honor eight student athletes, basketball players from throughout the state, four girls, four boys, and these scholarships are worth $500. And Annabelle Williams, a fantastic student athlete, a great basketball player who was among the team leaders for Jackson Dell in points, rebounds, assists, and steals per game. She was an all-state honorable mention selection last month and also excels in the classroom as an academic all-state honorable mention selection. And back in December, she did announce her commitment to play college basketball at Mount St. Joseph University in Cincinnati. So bright future ahead for Annabelle Williams. And always great to see area students, student athletes receiving scholarships and things like that to help with their college education. So awesome stuff there. And congratulations to Annabelle Williams. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. OrthoSensi.com. Let's get into our baseball and softball roundup. Want to start in the EIAC with baseball. Almost called it Batesball, and why not? Because Batesville is leading the EIAC so far this year, 6-2 overall, 4-0 in the conference. You got South Dearborn right behind them, and Rushville at 3-1 in conference play. East Central and Franklin County 2-2. Lawrenceburg is 1-3. Greensburg 1-3, and Connersville in last place at 0-4 in the conference. Taking a look at this South Dearborn team, just 3-1 on the season. They played some less games than some of other teams because of weather, but they are on a three-game winning streak, defeating Rushville and completing the regular season sweep of Lawrenceburg. Excuse me, that was with a 4-1 win last Thursday. Reese Willoughby's been really good on the mound thus far for the Knights. He went 6 innings, struck out 9, also had 3 hits at the dish. But Corbin McHenry did most of the damage, knocking in 2 runs in that game for the 4-1 win for South Dearborn. East Central 4-4. They've been on a cold streak here as of late, losing 4 of 5 since we last spoke on Monday. 2 losses to Batesville, including an extra inning loss last Thursday, 7-6. They did go 1-2 over the weekend, a 17-0 win over South Ripley, and then lost both games of a doubleheader with Bloomington South. But some of the players that have been standing out for East Central: Braden Rouse, 426 hitter, team leader right now. Sam Bond, 3 home runs, 14 ribbies. And Eli Aston, we've seen him burn it up on the football field, 10 runs scored, blazing a trail around the base pass. On the pitching mound for East Central, Daniel Brayton, 2-0 on the season, 1.11 ERA in 3 appearances, absolutely getting it done. As for the Lawrenceburg Tigers, 6-4 overall, went 3-2 over the last week since we last talked. They did lose the 2 games to South Dearborn, but have now won 3 in a row as they beat Jacksonville and completed a sweep of a doubleheader against Hauser. And how about Drew Lanning threw a no-hitter in game 1 against Hauser, struck out 12 batters, and then Devin Fluman turned around and tossed a complete game in game 2. And the Tigers, they've been struggling a little bit at the plate. Team batting average is slowly but steadily starting to climb a little bit. Kyle Heaney, 286, is their leading hitter right now, 6 ribbies. Andrew Myers is right behind him at 273 and 5 knocked in. Drew Lanning has been the man on the mound for them, though, 1-1 on the season, 0.36 ERA, 38 strikeouts and 19 2/3 innings pitched. He's been a force thus far for the Tigers, and he is a Hanover commit, so he's got a lot of baseball in his future, but off to a strong start during his senior campaign. Let's flip the script to softball here, as we have many teams doing some good things in the EIAC. Franklin County and Greensburg, 1-0 in the conference. East Central's 2-0, and Connersville is 3-0, so there's technically a tie there at the top of the EIAC. Rushville and South Dearborn right there in the middle. Rushville 1-2, South Dearborn's 1-3, Lawrenceburg 0-1, and Batesville is 0-3. Taking a look at East Central, they have scored 80 runs this year and given up just a little over 20 during their 8 games. They did go 2-1 at the Columbus North tourney over the weekend. Eventually lost to South Bend Adams in the title game, 11-5. Jordan Maurer has been playing great this year, 483 hitter. Paige Callahan leading the team in RBIs and runs with 9 driven in and 7 scored. And Lexi Hatmaker off to a great start in the pitching circle, 3-1, 3.18 ERA, 39 strikeouts in 33 innings pitched. South Dearborn, they've been struggling here as of late, 5-7 overall. They've lost 5 of 6 in their last 3. They did defeat Lawrenceburg 5-4 in extras last Tuesday. Corey Cornett's been a big star for them, 5.52 hitter, 12 ribbies to lead the team. She's also 4-2 with a 2.65 ERA and 48 strikeouts. Chase Hoskins has been a big hitter for them, 2 homers, 11 ribbies, and Lakota Vincent leading the team with 11 runs scored. As for Lawrenceburg, 3-3 so far this season. They've lost two in a row, dropping those games to South Dearborn and South Ripley. Brooklyn Couch, just a sophomore, has been absolutely smashing the ball. 579, 9 ribbies, 10 runs, and 3 dingers. And Courtney Santry, how about this, ranking 13th in the state in ERA, 0.79. She's 2-1, 20 strikeouts in 17 and 2/3 innings. So some big-time performers for some of our area teams in softball. Let's turn it over to the ORVC, jump back to baseball. Jacksonville and Milan unbeaten in the ORVC thus far. The Eagles 1-0, Milan 2-0 in the conference, also 2-0 overall, so off to a good start. Oldenburg has not played a conference game yet. Rising Suns 1-1, Shaw 0-2, South Ripley 0-1, and you got Southwestern and Switzerland County, who are both 1-1 in conference play. Rising Sun's been playing some good baseball here as of late, won 4 of 5, did drop their last game to Milan, 8-5 in extra innings. Jonathan Jimenez, 500 hitter, 12 ribbies. He's also 2-0 with a 1.58 ERA and 30 strikeouts on the mound. Peyton Marica's been getting it done at the plate and scoring some runs, leading the team with 8. And Brady Works has been a strong performer for Rising Sun as well. I mentioned Milan, 2-0 in conference play. They've beaten Shaw and Rising Sun. Eli Hurd, 571 hitter through those two games, 3 stolen bases. He's scored 5 times. Jeremiah Johnson with 5 hits and 3 ribbies. He's also their top pitcher, 420 ERA through 2 appearances. I know for Jeremiah, he wants that ERA to go down just a bit, but not too bad through the first two games. I mentioned South Ripley 1-2 on the season, did pick up their first win over New Washington 10-8 last week, and Switzerland County, a 1-3 start, their one win over South Ripley. Bryce Turner has been phenomenal. He's leading them in all major categories in hitting. 700 batter, 2 homers, 7 runs, 7 hits, and 10 ribbies. And freshman Roman Height, 1-0 on the mound with a 3.62 ERA. Some of the top performers for our area teams in the ORVC. Speaking about the ORVC, how about the softball side of things? South Ripley, Rising Sun, both 1-0 in the conference. Switzerland County's 1-1. You got Jacksonville and Milan at 0-1, and Shaw and Southwestern have yet to play a conference game. Rising Sun, 5-1 on the season, 65 runs scored, 25 allowed. They have won 5 in a row since losing their opener to Lawrenceburg. Nora Powell's batting 700. She's got 7 stolen bases. Emma Russell leads the team with 9 ribbies. And a couple of really strong pitchers, Alyssa Simpson's 1-0 with a 1.56 ERA. Cora Poling is 4-0, 3.50 ERA. Milan, 1-1. Chloe Hunter getting it done, 5 ribbies, 7.14 batting average through 2 games. And Audrey Smith, she is 7-for-7 at the dish to start the season. South Ripley's 5-0. They've scored 42 runs, only given up 12. That is in big part because of Maddie Tompkins getting it done on the mound, the pitching circle. I'll do that from time to time. 5-0, 1.52 ERA, 45 strikeouts in 23 innings pitched. She's also hitting .647. Ellie Waldron has been tough pitching as well, 1.75 ERA. And Alexa Height and Brooklyn Brown leading the Lady Raiders at the dish with 7 ribbies apiece. As for Switzerland County, 2-2 on the season. Lily Sparks hitting .643, 5 ribbies. She's 2-2 in the pitching circle with a 2.18 ERA and 41 Ks over 25, almost 26 innings pitched. And Maddie Duvall scoring a lot of runs for Switzerland County thus far with 6 to lead the team. This is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. Free sports physicals coming up Saturday, April 30th. More info at EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, time to get into our last segment of the evening. Do want to talk a little Cincinnati Reds baseball. They've been a hot topic, actually making some national headlines, maybe for the wrong reasons, but where are you going to go, Reds fans? That is the big question that is being asked right now by President and CEO Phil Castellini, who made some remarks during opening day this past Tuesday about the Reds fan base, who has kind of been throwing out some backlash against this front office and ownership group about how they have assembled the team this offseason. Reds fans not happy with the moves they have made, the players they've gotten rid of by trade, or just not re-signing them and letting them walk in free agency. And now you have a Reds team that is 2-8, has lost 6 in a row, and has the worst record in baseball through 10 games. Now, I know there's going to be Reds fans on both sides of the fence here. You have those that are really, really irate. They have lost their patience. They no longer want to even follow this team or support them. I certainly get it. It's been a long, long time since the Reds have done anything. The last World Series they won was 1990. I was 3 years old. I'll be 35 in September. So it's been that long since the Reds have won a World Series. And under the Castellinis during their ownership, the Reds have barely even sniffed the playoffs. They promised baseball championships, and the Reds haven't come close to that. Sometimes you got to put the onus on the players. Other times you have to put it on the front office. And I think both at times have certainly been the main reason why they haven't won anything. There has been some chances here and there where the players just didn't get it done. There's also been several years where they didn't have a team on paper that was one that was going to compete in the National League. And I think that's what we're getting again with this team. And listen, I'm not a hot take guy. I don't want to be that guy. Hot takes typically come off very, very negative and can sometimes be hateful. I like to take the positive outlook on things and remain optimistic as much as I possibly can. The optimism on this season is already dwindling after 10 games. The schedule is certainly not going to get any easier for the Reds the rest of this month. And I've said it in prior weeks, they can't afford to dig a huge hole and be behind by several games after the first month of the season. I know it's a long season, but with the team, with the roster that they have, I know they got some injuries right now and some guys working their way back that might help a little bit. But if you find yourself 10, 15 games out of first place after the first month or two of the season, it's really, really difficult to dig out of that hole because you're obviously going to be chasing a team that's probably going to win upwards of 85 plus games. Most division winners are going to be above that number. It's hard to believe that this Reds team can get anywhere near that type number, especially after the way that they've started. They still have to play 6 games against San Diego this month. They got St. Louis coming to town. Does not get any easier for this team. My optimistic look for this team is a little bit more long-term, looking to 2024. They're building around the young core of Stevenson, India, Lodolo, Hunter Green. I've talked about that prior, but 2024 is a big year for them. They don't have any contracts dedicated to that year. Everyone will be off the books and get rid of some bad contracts, a la Mike Moustakas, get rid of some bad players. Maybe Mike Moustakas at this point, with all due respect, he just hasn't panned out as a Cincinnati Red, but that is going to be a big year for me to kind of see what the direction of this team is going to be, and maybe even into next season as well, into the next offseason. We'll see if they make a couple of savvy, good signings to pair with these young guys, just kind of building to 2024, and then make some further signings in free agency, have some other young guys come up through the pipeline and make it to the major leagues, and maybe you have that blend of youth and veteran, and then things can really start to happen, and they can get going in the right direction. By no means am I saying 2024 is a year that they will be winning the National League Central or in contention, but that is a year that we can see this team head into a legit new era, specific to the roster with the young players and maybe some new additions via free agency trade and or coming up through the minor leagues. But that will be very telling to me whether this ownership group and front office knows what they are doing, because I do think they are positioning themselves for the future. It's not easy to get on board with as a fan, because we all want wins and we all want them right now. That is not the reality with this team. Maybe things will get better this year when they get their full complement of players. They still are missing the likes of Luis Castillo, Mike Minor, TJ Antone. Lucas Sims is on his way back. Donovan Solano is a nice hitter, can do some different things, play some different positions. Maybe that group of players can help this team just be middle of the pack. That might be their ceiling this year. But I just want to see good baseball and an exciting team to watch play, and that is not necessarily what we have gotten as of right now. Hunter Green, he's kind of worth the price of admission. I love watching him pitch already, just 2 games into his major league career. Reds are certainly having their struggles at the plate right now, not hitting the ball well, and I don't think many pitchers fear their lineup. So likely is going to be a long season for the Reds, but hopeful for the future that will all work out. And we'll be talking about winning baseball somewhere down the line. Maybe not here in 2022, but maybe when we get closer to 2024, 2025, and this young core really starts to blossom and has some other players around them that can make this team really, really good. I'm very, very hopeful that that is the plan. I'd love to talk more on this topic. I'm sure I'll be talking about the Reds as the season goes along next week. Certainly going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll give you some prospects that I would like to see them take with their first-round pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And, of course, we'll be running down all the latest in high school hometown sports next week on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. We appreciate you tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by Ortho Sensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30 here at Eagle Country 99.3.